Welcome to the Grace to Conquer Show with me, your host, Kara Foote. I'm on a mission to help other women and mamas understand the difference between all the truths and lies we have been taught by the fitness industry and social media. There is so much info out there and so many different options, companies, and products that it's hard to know what to listen to and who to trust. Look, I've been there, and as a personal trainer in nutrition, I've also been a part of the problem. I'm so thankful God came alongside me and gave me the vision to stop what I was doing so that I could help others like you find freedom in fitness through faith and truth. Come along with me on this journey discovering how to truly nourish and help the amazing bodies that we live in every day. Today, I am talking about a sensitive subject because I'm going to go through some of the things that have happened to me this year and what it has done for me in terms of making me stronger and where I'm at in my perspective. Just kind of a life update because I haven't given that to you guys, and I feel like those of you that have been listening and following me for quite a long time now, for the last almost 3 years since I started, it's just been quite a journey for me. And that's just it. Is our lives are all very different, but we each have our own journey. We each have our own story. And this year, I've talked a little bit about things here and there, but basically, you know, it started out with me thinking I was just going to really push this year and it was going to be my best year ever and nothing's going to hold me back this year. And, you know, because I every year I go into that, I always have a theme. And this year my theme was to be in alignment. And so it seems like when you choose a theme, everything around you is going to challenge you and push you in that direction if you allow it to. However, it's going to challenge you to make it harder for you so that if that is really what you want, then you're going to be forced to grow. So when I started out the year, everything was going fine, usual, just, you know, life being a mom and going through everything, working at Amazon, helping my husband with our business, just working at Amazon more just because it was convenient, because I would do a flex schedule and just pick and choose my shifts. And, like I said, it worked really well for me because I could work really early in the morning, even though I was tired a lot. And then my son came to visit right around that time frame. You guys have heard me talk about my DV situation I had so many years ago. His father, my son that I had adopted out, his father reached out randomly trying to make contact with me in every single avenue. And those in my local women's group that I lead knew about this because I went to them, and it was traumatic for me. I went through a lot trying to rehash a lot of things that I had never fully dealt with. And I knew that even though I've talked about some of the things on my podcast, it was hard. It was definitely a trial, and it made me think that, I needed to maybe close myself off to more. And then with prayer and perspective from my husband and I talking about it, we realized, no, that's exactly what the devil would want, is for me to close off and not share my story and to be quiet and to scare me from moving forward. And so I said, no, I'm not going to let this scare me or concern me. And I held my ground. And, you know, made sure that the police were aware, as well as, reached back out through another avenue to say, no contact is welcome. And this is why. And so it was, like I said, that was the first hurdle. And then, shortly thereafter, you know, I'd been fighting being sick for a while too. So I got really sick. I went through several like major sickness type things where I ended up being on antibiotics, 5 rounds of antibiotics, 3 rounds of steroids. And after that, ended up just, I was in bed a lot, and I couldn't even go into work at Amazon or do much of anything, even work out, because my hands were getting so swollen. Didn't know what was going on. I was able to finally get into a rheumatologist right around end of April, and they diagnosed me with rheumatoid arthritis, which, you know, I knew I had some degenerative arthritis already in my knees and in my shoulder joints. And so to find out I had rheumatoid arthritis, or possibly something else, like another, you know, rare type, autoimmune that might act in the same sort of way, but regardless, I was told the treatment would be about the same. And so I'd be on medicine basically for the rest of my life is what I was told. And surely I'm still actually on that medication because I haven't found something else that works to help me as far as the swelling in my hands. And you guys, you know that I'm a personal trainer and I love helping people. I love working out. I love physical activity. I love lifting weights. I couldn't even grab weights. I couldn't even open a water bottle if it had gotten to that point. So I was really depressed. I think that people that were around me, because I just carried on like normal, they didn't maybe realize what I was going through because I can be kind of a private person. But how it came out in more, you know, I was just distant. And between, you know, having had my son come visit and the emotions of all of, you know, everything kind of going through with that. And I don't want to talk about that too much here on the podcast just because of the nature and the sensitivity of his biological father trying to reach out to me and wanting to protect him and his life, even though I know that God is stronger and there's nothing he, you know, that biological father can do to touch that son that I have, or me in regards to it. And I, you know, I'm willing to fight for it. And also, like I said, I believe and trust God fully in that. But at the same time, for the sense of privacy, I don't want to go into all of the emotions that I went through and everything through that whole experience. And when he came to visit and all of that sort of thing. So that being said, I think a lot of people thought that was mainly what was going on with me, but it was a lot more than that. There was a lot of physical things going on with me. And then somewhere around that, I started having a little bit of a recurrence of the whole breast issue I was having, you know, a year and a half before. And just some of these things really coming up and really, like I said, I would sleep in pretty late. I just felt like super lethargic. I just did not have motivation to work out. Not just that I didn't have motivation, I didn't have the energy. And, I was slowly gaining weight during this time too. It was very discouraging and, to the point where I was kind of hoping that they would like see that maybe it was my thyroid or something, because why, you know, and I wasn't like out here eating all the bad things. I was just doing the things that I normally would do, except I was not getting to the gym and I wasn't being very active because my body physically hurt so bad. And, I've overcome a lot when it comes to pain and all of the different diagnoses. It just, after a while, like mentally, it gets exhausting to constantly deal with medical things. I'm a very very positive type person, by default. And, so if I start sounding negative, then it's because something's really wearing on me and it's just time and time again. Now, that being said, I'm also a very, I'm a very blunt person. My friends will know I hold them to a high level of accountability. I will speak my mind and it's out of love. And I have to really work on watching the things that I say because I am very black and white. That's just been my personality for many years and even was when I was going through all my criminal justice schooling and everything. So this year, like I said, it was tough. And so right around July, I really just kind of had a mindset shift. I was actually going to do 75 hard. And then that we were about to travel. And so I decided not to do it then and then to wait. And then while we were traveling, I ended up spraining my ankle. And it's something that still bothers me now. And that was at the very beginning of August. We had conferences. By then, I was actually starting to feel a little bit better. I had lost probably about 5 pounds or something from what I had gained because I literally put on 20 pounds This year, I was even looking through my pictures today, my progress pictures, because I take my pictures almost every single week in the app. Even if I'm not always tracking, I try to really stay in touch with my coach. It's not for accountability. It's for just knowing that, like, for him, because he's like, what is this girl doing? You know, because I'm like, oh, I sprained my ankle and I did this and then I did that. And so, coaches have coaches, FYI. The best coaches I know have coaches. A high paying or high costing coach is paying a high amount for a coach. So, I want you to know that, yes, it's a good thing that your coach or somebody that you might listen to here gets coached a lot. And I have personal mentor type coaches. I have mentors when it comes to, you know, more spiritual and as well as marital type things as well. And we have friends that we can talk about candidly, even if our, you know, even if we have a difference of opinion, whatnot, people that will challenge my husband and I in our marriage. And then, like I said, I have personal development coaches as well. And what I've done, like when I worked with First Forum, and still, you know, do, I get a high amount of coaching through that. I would not be the person that I am without that input in my life. I just believe that having people there to help you that have been where maybe you are or see your blind spots is always helpful. Does that mean that I need them to be accountable to myself? No. Does that mean when I'm sliding, they're going to call me out on it? Yes, they're going to call me out and they're going to call me up to be the best that I can be. And I try to do the same thing for other people. But that's kind of where I've been at this year. Really, like I said, life just kind of took a huge toll on me. And looking back, I didn't realize how big it was until, like I said, I look back even at pictures and just my posting or non-posting on different avenues of social media. And it's cool because I've gotten back to that. I've found, you know, a new brighter fire that's burning inside me for what's to come. Not something I'm ready to share yet, but something that is huge. I have a couple of huge things that I'm working on. And whoop, air freshener in the room that I'm in here. So that noise in the background there. So the last couple months too, if I haven't mentioned it already here on this podcast, since I haven't been on here very regularly, very faithfully, is I have worked at a gym. And for the first time, personal training through a gym. And it's really been awesome because I absolutely love working with people. To me, it's not a job. If I could do that all day long, 40 hours a week, I would be in heaven. It's just, it's amazing to me to be able to do that and get paid to help people. That's an awesome part of personal training. You guys know that I give so much away. I have, you know, a group that, is on Facebook where I will pour into, the only downside is between that, my social media, also working through with people, that I work through, they just pay for the app. So essentially it's free for them, to work with me on your macros, macro coaching that I do. And, I know a lot of people tend to even take it for granted because they think that because they're not paying me, my time isn't valuable. And that's where I have appreciated working at a gym, because people realize, yeah, you're going to pay quite a bit for a good trainer. And I'm considered an elite trainer, meaning I have over 10 years of experience and I have a lot of certifications. And I think people that work with me, a lot of times when they get that free side of the coaching, they just think I'm just some BFF, some person that's just going to kind of guide them. But here's the thing is that I expect you to do what I ask if you're working with me for free, because this is my time. I am sacrificing time that I could be with my family, that I could be doing other things for my own self or to make money, to help other people, because I want to. That is my ministry. That is my desire. That is my passion. I love helping people. So that's been a struggle for me this year, is really trying to figure out where I'm at with that, because it's hard when you feel like you pour into everybody, whether it's like podcasting, social media, or an app, or, you know, a group, and it just feels like it's not appreciated. And now there'll be people that'll come by and be like, hey, just so you know, I do listen to you, and I really, you know, and they'll encourage me, and I'll know that even if it's just for that one person, that means so much. But 99% of the time I don't hear that. It's just like crickets, out there. So I'm, you know, we'll have announcements, or I'll talk to people, or I'll say things. And then, it's like people think I'm some like nagging little drip that just keeps dripping, dripping, dripping. So they start to ignore it. And unfortunately, when it comes to that, like I said, I was just talking about accountability in my own life and having my own coaches, having personal awareness and being able to self-evaluate is huge, because if you have that, then you will start to recognize the people in your life that are investing in you that don't need to be investing in you. And you will start to appreciate them. And hopefully it goes hand in hand with you having like a gratitude journal. And I challenge you, if you don't have that, to do that, because you want to have a gratitude journal to be a positive person. It's really hard to be a negative person if you are like literally keeping a tally of things you're grateful for. It's really hard to be like, oh, now I'm keeping a tally of all the negative things. So when you're being grateful, even in the morning, you're showing gratitude for things, it's going to be hard for you to have a negative attitude. So I challenge you, if you find yourself being negative, to have that, and start showing appreciation for people that are pouring into you that don't need to be. We have in our society nowadays, this huge, epidemic of people that feel very entitled, like everybody owes them something, and nobody owes you anything. That whole little saying that you hear maybe on social media, no one's coming to save you. Look, it is your responsibility to take care of yourself. It is your responsibility. So if there's somebody there that's trying to guide you and help you, take advantage of it. Don't, or if you're not ready, but own it. If you're not ready to take responsibility for yourself, own that and say, I can't take, you know, I'm not in a place right now mentally where I can take responsibility for myself and take accountability. And so I am really hard on those that I'm closest to a level. I have a lot of grace. I have been told in the past that I'm one of the most gracious people. I can have people do something awful to me time and time and time again, and I will forgive them. I will forgive them. I will give them another chance. I will give them another chance. But here's the thing about me. Because of my experience, I have boundaries that I will actually lay down and say, no, enough is enough, because I can't give and run myself thinner and thinner when other people are not willing to have that same level of discipline and accountability. By discipline, I mean, maybe when it comes to my food and my tracking and, you know, doing things there, I'm not making excuses for myself. And I've talked about the 80-20 for myself and the rule in my life of 80% on track and 20% maybe not. So meaning 80% of the time I'm doing everything that I should be doing. I try to push and actually have that be closer to 90. If I could be 100% all the time, I wish I could. But unfortunately, I know me, I will go all in and I'll be 100%, 100%, or 110%, 100%, 100%. And then I get exhausted and get burnt out because I'm not just doing the things, I'm leading other people. And when you're leading and you're giving, you're serving and you're serving and you're serving. And so it's not just me doing something for me where I'm putting it back to myself and giving it back to myself. When you start giving to other people and you give it to other people, you're giving a little bit of yourself every single time. So you can see where if I have a whole bunch of people that I'm investing in time-wise and, you know, I'm also trying to invest in myself, I can't give myself 100% because I'm giving other people quite a big percentage. And so what happens is I end up getting burnt out. And I've had to do some self-reflection on this recently and say, look, I just cannot do all of the things. And so that's partly why you saw me not on social media, where I was learning to really be a good trainer in person, because I'd been doing so much training online through the app and somewhat in person, but like on a smaller scale. And now with training so many more people in like a gym setting and really pouring into them, it's awesome, because when you see people face to face, there's this different level of appreciation. And I wish I could be in more places, because I've had other people reach out to me that are like, you know what, I love the training that you gave me, and your accountability and your coaching. And they had tried to find somebody local because they weren't local. Maybe they found me through here, through the podcast, or through Facebook or Instagram, and they would do macro coaching with me. And then they loved that I preached that it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle, and you've got to find what works for you. And when they go to a different nutritionist or personal trainer, you know, sometimes it works for somebody, but a lot of times that person comes back to me and says, this didn't work for me, or I didn't appreciate how this person was like, no, you have to do this, or you can't do this, because I don't believe in restriction unless you have to for, you know, like you're allergic to something, or, you know, me with being celiac. So that's a different thing. But, you know, I appreciate that those people have come back and said, hey, I appreciate the way you did this. And it's this huge affirmation, where I've even had, you know, doctors that have gone through that believe in, you know, all natural, remedies versus like Western medicine, that's all like medications and things like that, because I take a very holistic approach to even healing. And like I said, this has been the first time in my life where I'm on a medication that I don't, you know, I don't have this intent to necessarily get off until I can figure out how else, from a holistic, maybe nutrition standpoint, how to manage the, you know, RA, the rheumatoid arthritis, and how, I can overcome this. Like, I know it's not something that might just go away per se, but, how to really control it and work on that. And, I've heard a lot of tips. I mean, no sugar and all that kind of stuff. And I do try to stay away from sugar and caffeine and dairy and all the things. But I also, you know, again, it's lifestyle right now. I'm not in a season where it's as easy for me to just do that, with the kids being that the age they are. I'm still cooking for them. They're getting better about not always doing that, but because we have our family dynamics. That was the other thing that happened this year, is my stepson came to live with us full time. And so he is not a kid that can just cook for himself. And so there's only so many nights that I can be like, okay, you guys are on your own tonight, find something or have some leftovers. And he starts to freak out, like, and panic. Like he's not going to eat if I can't cook for him. So that's been a little bit more challenging this year. So things like that, have really driven some of the decisions I've had to make more recently. But I did start opening up and accepting more people back into the macro coaching program that I use, and realizing that I can do more than sometimes what I think I'm capable of doing. But I have to have stronger boundaries. And part of that is, I was talking with someone today, and a mentor of mine, because I wasn't sure what to do in a situation. And it came out that, you know, when I have, you know, accountability groups, a lot of times what happens, and a lot of us women will do this, is where we are gracious and we are merciful. And so we're like, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. And I want to tell you what happened in one of my accountability groups. Okay. I was with a whole bunch of coaches, and we were in an accountability group, and we were supposed to post specific things every single day. And it came to the point where people just weren't posting, especially on the weekend. And then they just kind of went MIA. And so then people would be like, oh yeah, I was busy doing this. Oh, sorry. And I mentioned something to our coach that was like the leader of this accountability group. And I said, okay, like, I'm really bothered right now because this is supposed to be an accountability group and everybody's just cutting each other slack. And that's not accountability. You know, when you condone someone's behavior, you're basically allowing them and enabling them to do the behavior that we're trying to change. If you have an accountability group, there's probably a reason, and it's probably because maybe we're all trying to work on like a habit that we're trying to break. Like, you know, like if it's an accountability group of like this coach's accountability group, we're working on, we would actually post our macros as well to show that we got all green checks, and we had to have all green checks. And if we didn't do something, mind you, we had like something that we had to do, and it was usually like doing 100 burpees or something like that. And we had to post it on social media and tag our other accountability partners. And we had like 6 or 7 people in this group. So sometimes it made it a little bit crazy. But when we would do that, so it wasn't just that, it was also our, you know, our power list. And you've heard me talk about a power list. So like the stuff that we had to get done every single day, that's our non-negotiables that we did every single day. I'm talking Saturday and Sunday included. And then there was something else. I think it was our own list of non-negotiables that were going to move us forward, or something else. It had to do with our businesses, I think, because like I said, we're all coaches. And when we didn't do that, like I said, there was a consequence, but nobody was holding each other accountable. So we had our meeting, because we would have a meeting once a week where we were on Zoom, and people had also stopped showing up to that as regularly. And that was supposed to be, if you're going to be in this high accountability group, this pod group, that, you know, you had to commit to these things. And so my coach said, Kara has something she wants to say, and put me on the spot. And I was like, oh shoot. So I called them out, and I called them up, and I said, look, you guys are, we are, all of us are slacking here. And me and another girl were actually pretty good about posting, but I was like, this is not what accountability is. Enabling each other to, just slide by is not accountability. And so I unfortunately had to have an uncomfortable conversation with someone today where I had to talk about that accountability and what is accountability. If someone's trying to reach a goal and you're going to have a group, if someone is constantly asking to join a group that then is going to give a bunch of excuses every time, then I don't want to be in an accountability group with somebody like that, because that's not holding me accountable, because they're going to keep sliding. So they're not going to hold me accountable. And how can I hold them accountable when they don't take it seriously? So I had to draw some straw lines and say, look, accountability means we're holding each other to a high standard. We're saying, hey, this is what we're choosing to do. This is a commitment. We are pushing to be a better version of ourselves. It's not a, hey, I'm going to love myself no matter what, even though I messed up again, I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, I'm going to keep plugging along and I'll do better next time. That's not actually accountability. And there's a huge movement right now of people that are just about, hey, loving themselves for how they are, which is, you should, we are all worthy of love. We are all amazing people. Are we all our best right now? Absolutely not. And so there is a big difference between holding ourselves to the standard of we are going to work towards our best and be better every single day, and I'm going to love myself the way that I am right now. And there is, it's not about that whole self-love movement. Self-love should be, I love myself enough to do what's best for me. What is best for me? And so what is best for me is probably not to go out and eat whatever I want and drink whatever I want. That's not what's best for me. What's best for me is to understand that my body needs certain nourishment, especially because I have autoimmunes, and my body needs to have movement. Even when I'm maybe in pain, actually probably especially when I'm in pain with my fibromyalgia, or right now because of a competition I just did, I have a back that's really tweaked, and I still have to do what I committed to, which is that in the month of November, every single day I do 15-minute abs. Every single day. It is a commitment for me. Now, there are certain things that I have decided are non-negotiables for me, which is that for the most part, unless I'm really bored just sitting there watching the family watch TV or something, that on Sundays, that is my family day, and sometimes I will use it for catching up on some social media or something like that. But for the most part, that is not my day to post anything on social media or do any kind of work or business on that day. That is my day that I hold sacred. We go to church, we spend family time together. So that is something that I don't do, but I still did my 15 minute abs, even though my back was hurting. There's a things that you can do that can still continue to move that needle forward. And so what happens a lot of times is people move forward and then they go back down, because when you go higher, 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 it seems like you're going to go back down, and then they constantly have that. And that's what the roller coaster is. And dieting follows that roller coaster example. It's why I say it's a lifestyle. It has to be a lifestyle. If you can't hold yourself accountable to something, then you're not figuring out that missing piece of the puzzle, which is lifestyle. If it's something that you, in your own core value, can't hold yourself to, then it reevaluate your core values. Ask yourself, what do I truly believe and think in this situation? So anyway, I didn't mean to completely rant and rave about all this. Just wanted to catch you guys up on the things that I've been going through. It's an awesome little air freshener in that room again. But it has been, like I said, a challenging, challenging year. And I cannot believe that we are already in November, you guys. We have less than 60 days left of this year, 2023. And I started my podcast almost 3 years ago. So I'm going to start revisiting some of the topics that I have talked about in those last 3 years. Some of the most loved things that I want to expand on a little bit more, and some of the questions that I've been getting asked more recently, because I think things come up as they change, especially post-COVID now. We're in like this different find yourself era, and this is my, you know, hot girl summer era, and this is my finding myself or being quiet or boss girl getting everything done kind of era. We all are in some kind of era. It seems like that's the hot thing right now. And so let's start exploring some of that and see what it is we can do to work on ourselves and really begin that self-reflection process of how can we go this next year into 2024 to be even better. Look forward to talking more and getting some more people on here to give us some insight as to what we can do coming into 2024. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.